beginning in verse 5, and we're glad that everybody's here today. As Sister Storm had mentioned, the hobo missed his train. So, you know, hopefully, he'll be here next week. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Our Father in heaven, we would like to thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for the sweet spirit of love that we sense in this place this morning. We ask your blessing upon each and every person. We ask that you'll bless and honor the reading of your word. We ask that you'll be with Pastor Storm and those that are with him, and that you'll grant them safety. May this be a very profitable and helpful journey for the ministry. And we ask, Lord, that you'll meet our spiritual needs through the teaching of your word this morning. And we'll praise you because we love you and for who you are. And we ask these things in Christ's name. And God's people said, amen. All right. Again, this is a series. From the Heart is the series. And today's title is From a Heart That Proves God. One of the greatest hoaxes in life, the greatest deception, one of them, is that if we had more, we would be more generous. And the truth is, if you and I don't trust him now, then we're not going to trust him at that point and later on. This morning, we're going to learn about a basic concept in Christian stewardship. And that concept is mainly trusting or proving God. Now, the definition of a steward is one who manages the affairs of another person or another. And Christian stewards acknowledge that God is the owner, and we are the manager of his blessings and everything of his creation. A faithful Christian steward trusts God with his or her whole and entire heart, completely. So let's ask ourselves a question this morning, and then we'll get into the main body of the lesson. How do we know that we're really proving, or how do we know we're really trusting God? Now, there are ways to tell this, and there are three ways that we can tell that this morning. The first is this. Look at verse 5 and notice with me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. The first thing is we prove his person. And there are two areas that we can prove the Lord. Now, you know, if you go out and you buy a new car, you know, they say test drive. But what you're really doing is you're proving the car. Make a decision before you make that decision to purchase it. Well, when it comes to walking with the Lord and proving the Lord, the first thing is we need to learn, if we're not, to trust him personally. That is more imperative than almost anything that we can look at. The first step toward proving God is to trust him as your personal Savior. That is the best way and the most important way to prove the Lord. Listen to what John says in 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on, in other words, prove, believe on the name of the Son of God. The Apostle Paul says in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation, and really conversation encompasses manner of living also, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we prove his person. The second, we can tell that we are proving his person and we are trusting him, is that we trust him not only as personally, but we trust him entirely, completely and thoroughly. In other words, keep this in mind, and it'll help all of us to trust him more. God can do anything except one thing. He cannot lie. God cannot lie. When God tells you and I something in his word, he means it. He stands behind it, and he cannot lie. Now, notice, lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, look at verse 6 just for a moment. And it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, are you a good reader? Pardon? Okay. I may be calling, I want to make sure they're good readers. I may call on somebody impromptu to read from some passages that we're in. So just hold tight if that happens. I want to give advance warning. Oh, I may not do it right now. Okay, yeah. Oh, okay, all right. Jake, I'll tell you one thing, Brother Jacob, that I really appreciate about you. You have a spirit of helps. He's been over with his dad a few times, and we had a large tractor, you know, this farm tractor tires. Well, how much does that thing weigh? About 200 pounds close to it. And I get out there and grunt and groan and try to pick it up and move it because we're going to have a carport put on the property to keep our cars from getting burned alive. And we were talking, and I mentioned to Kevin and to Brother Jacob that we're going to give away a farm tractor. We had six, and the people on the property that owned it before us for years and years, it was a goat farm, and they raised goats, and they had kids in, and they could take tours, and I guess you'd put some money in a basket if you felt so inclined. But goats everywhere, and they jumped those tires, and man, it must have been fun just to watch the goats and the baby goats. Well, I tried to move that tire one day, and I thought, man, I'll get the Jeep out there and I'll drag it. I didn't get to that point, and Jacob thought, you know, I might be able to use that. And he walks out, and I mean, this tire is mammoth. And he walks out, and he just picks it up, not off the ground. He picked it up and balanced it. And then later on, Kevin and I were talking, and I looked out in the back over on the side of the lot, and he's flipping it. He'd pick it up again and flip it, pick it up. And that's a form of exercise. Where's that tire now? Who owns that tire? You do. That's right. And I'll tell you what, that amazes me even to today. And I can't even barely get the thing off the ground about that far. And I'm not going to break my back to pull it up like Jacob did. Listen to Proverbs 28 and 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Well, if you look at verse 6, And notice, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. God is always with us. Remember, he cannot lie. He's truthful in every single thing. So, there are four ways that we can trust the Lord. These are things that help us to know if we're doing, if our walk is with the Lord and acceptable before him. Number one, we learn to trust him with ourselves. In other words, completely. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He is saying, I implore you. This is very important what he's saying, he says. By the mercies of God that you present, you show, you deliver over to the Lord, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God. But notice what the Lord says in his word, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. Not outstanding. Not super abundantly wonderful, but reasonable. There are things that God expects of us. And so if we're going to show the Lord that we're trusting him, number one, we trust him with yourself. Now, the second is this. You trust him with your possessions. Trust him completely with your possessions. Edie and I, over the years, I've been a pastor since 1974. My first church was in Yuma, Arizona, coming out of seminary, out of Pontiac, Michigan, and lo and behold, did not have any idea where we were going to go. And I had a call from the chancellor of the seminary and also the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, Dr. Tom Malone, and he said, I've got a letter I want to read to you. And I sat down in front of his desk in his office, and it was about a church in Yuma. He said, I'm going to call him right now unless you object, and then I'm going to give you the phone. I said, okay. The next thing I realized is we were headed toward Yuma, Arizona, after graduation in 1974. We have learned over the years that everything that we have is the Lord's. Everything. We give God our possession. He owns it. Guess what? If we give what we have to the Lord, our vehicles, our houses, our family, our possessions, God takes it and he protects and he blesses and he even multiplies. We have never in our life, all of our life, ever lacked anything. We've come to the place that it's been pretty slim. We went to start a church in Vermont. We rented a house, and lo and behold, everything, we paid our first month's rent, got our utilities turned on. And I remember getting on the living room floor in this house in Vermont with my wife and our two sons. We have six kids now, but our two sons. And we laid out 38 cents on the living room floor, a quarter, a dime, and three pennies. And we prayed. And it was amazing. My wife almost prayed the same thing. Lord, and when we'd pray, we'd shuffle the change around on the floor while we're praying. Lord, you see what we have here. That's all we've got. We have been trying, and we went out on this as an itinerant, so to speak. We did not seek mission support. And Lord, we're down to everything now. We bought our groceries. Everything's done. We have nothing except you. And you're our all in all. Well, my wife got a call. We were putting in for employment. The same week, was it the same day or later? It wasn't long from there. And you ever heard of a place called Woolworths? Well, they needed an assistant manager. And lo and behold, my wife worked at Woolworths. I got a phone call after putting in an app with Washington Power and Cooperative Electric to work in the auto shop to keep their trucks on the road with another man. Got that job. Praise the Lord. And then as the church started growing, one day they came over to me at Washington Co-op and said, Matt, you're doing a good job. We have got to stay within our budget. We're going to have to let you go, and we're going to give you a good notice. But it was at the right timing, do you see? So we trust the Lord with our possessions. Listen to James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is faithful. He's consistent. He's always with us. He's always for us. Thirdly, we trust him with our time. Ephesians 5:17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Appreciate your testimony this morning. Appreciate it about your job. Appreciate all the testimonies. But appreciate the fact that you understood what the will of God is, and he gave you that job. And when God gives you something and it works out, you know that it's in harmony with your life and your family, and it's a blessing. Now, number four, here it is now. We're kind of climbing the ladder. Trust him with your gifts and your talents. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, whether it's your future, your family, or your finances, trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. Listen, as we travel through life, the baggage that we have that God gives us has grips on it. And I want you to think on this. God's grips, if we're allowing him to be in control, God's grips don't slip. They just don't. Notice, stewardship is not about raising money. It is about raising Christians to trust God completely. Here's the second. Prove his principles. Please look, if you would, to verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now, there are two ways to prove God's principles. Number one, acknowledge him for direction. Now, listen to verse 6 and 7 again. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, notice the inclusiveness of these two verses. He says, in all thy ways. The prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 10, verse 23, he says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Now, we pray every morning, Lord, please direct our steps. And I'll tell you why we do that. Because it's not within ourselves to know God's will in advance. We want God to direct our step and lead us and begin to unfold his will for us daily. And that's all about what it is in Christian living, is proving God from the heart. Notice that God will never, he's incapable of leading you and I down a wrong path. Psalm 37, verse 25, the psalmist said, I have been young, and now am I old, Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The second way to prove his principles, to prove him of the heart, is that we reverence him for protection. Please look at verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Somebody made a comment, I believe it was last Wednesday. I believe the pastor may have said that, or somebody said the first two people on the earth didn't have belly buttons. And that, you know, that's true, because they did not come from the womb. They came from the hand of God. They were dust, and God leaned over and blessed and breathed into them, and Adam became a living soul, and Eve came from Adam's rib. She was not delivered from a birth canal, either one of them. I want you to think on this. When he says in verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, the marrow in your bones produces energy, and it produces energy by producing blood cells. Amazing as it is. When we were in our mother's womb, we were hooked up and connected direct to mama by a, what do they call that tube? Fallopian tube? No. Umbilical. No, that's not. What is it? Umbilical cord. Umbilical cord, yeah. Okay, I'm not even going to stop on that one. All right, if this happens to get to the internet, y'all ignore that statement. All right. So we got our energy from mother, from the umbilical cord. And as we acknowledge God, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, our health is affected in a positive way. And notice, as we prove his principles, God will direct and protect our life. Here's our third. The third way to tell if we're trusting the Lord is found in verse 9 and 10, and that is to prove his promises. Jacob, I'd like you to read verse 9 and 10. We're in Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Read it nice and loud. Just 9 and 10. That's okay. I can tell you like reading. All right. Now, let's think on this. And there are two promises that we find within the passage that Jacob had just read. First of all, there is the promise concerning first fruits. And we need to realize that God wants to be honored first. Uno, number one. Honor the Lord with your substance. Now, it is, number one, it is a requirement. God says to honor him with first fruits. In verse 10, it is your reward. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Thy barns, your barns will be filled. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. We lived in Anchorage, Alaska, overall for about 5 years. I remember one day we were coming out of a church service, and it was summertime. In summer, if you've lived through a winter or two in Alaska, the summers, even though maybe they're 75 or 80 in Anchorage, they feel hot. People getting off at the airport, wow, is it ever cool out? Man, it feels like blazing, burning. It was, it feels almost like here until you get acclimated. We're getting acclimated again. I don't know if you ever get acclimated when it's 110 out, But I know one thing, it sure felt good this morning. And we got out of church, we're heading home. We went through a shopping center, we got an idea. Let's stop at Baskin Robbins. Do you all know what Baskin Robbins is? Okay, it's not a shoe store, okay? All right. So we went into Baskin Robbins, and I mean, man, we walked in just at the right time. They've got all these 5-gallon containers behind the glass and over. Every kind of ice cream you could ever imagine. And so we gave our two sons their first selection. And I think one of them picked up peanut butter in the ice cream. And that, you know, I've never tasted it. It's just like insect repellent. I just don't want to taste it. So, and then another one, it got some weird thing with bubble gum in it. Pieces of bubble gum. I looked at that and I thought, well, Joel must want his ice cream to stay with him a long time. So, but then went ahead and filled the scoops. My wife and I got an ice cream cone. And I said, you know, we'd like to get some ice cream to go home. And we picked, I don't know if it was Rocky Road or what, that type ice cream. But I noticed that the lady behind, she got out this square cart and it was flat. She put it together and she set it on a scale. And I looked at her and I thought, boy, you sure do that professionally. And she's scooping the ice cream and tamping it down. And I'm starting to really pour it on. I said, ma'am, I don't think I've ever seen anybody ever do as good of a job with ice cream and serving people as you are. I am just absolutely amazed. Have you been doing this most of your life? I was really building her up. And let me tell you what happened. The more I talk to her and brag about what she's doing, the ice cream got to the top and it was now over the top. And so she started stamping it and that square carton started bulging out of the side. She took it off the scales, which is a good thing, and because they stop at a certain level. And I thought, man, you've done it. You couldn't get another one in. And she looked at me like as if to say, oh, yeah. And she put another scoop on top and finally got, it was like a dome on the end of the carton, a square box. And I thought, you know, that's the way the Lord is. We give unto him. Good measure, he gives back, pressed over, I mean literally overflowing. And listen, we should honor the Lord with our first fruits, our increase, our pay increase, interest off the bank. Now, does the interest belong to God? No, it belongs to you. But if you have given everything you have to the Lord, then you know that it is our responsibility, and because of love and obedience to Scripture, that we tithe to the Lord. 26% of Americans approximately attend church regularly. I said regularly. From those attending regularly, out of the vast group, now we're taking Bible-believing Christians and all kinds of every kind of stripe or streak of churches you can imagine, out of that 26%, 2 to 3% tithe. Now, let's notice a couple of things. Let's notice the promise concerning the tithes and offerings. Listen to Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. And the Lord opens up this series with a question. Will a man rob God? Well, you think, no, nobody would ever rob the Lord. Well, he says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein? How have we? Wherein have we robbed thee? And the Lord says, in tithes and offerings. Now notice what he says. This is sobering. Ye are cursed with a curse, before ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. He's talking to Israel. That there even this whole nation, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Prove me. Do you see that? Prove me. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There's two truths. Number one, the first truth out of this passage is tithes. In verse 10, the Lord says, bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse. Now, the storehouse, it was in Old Testament days, the temple. Today, it's the local Bible-believing church. And I must put that tag on it, because outside of the realm of Bible-believing is nominal, and that money generally never gets to the Lord. It stays within the network of a liberal religious system. Now, notice that God's redemptive agency for mankind is the church. The church is our primary. Listen to this carefully. Our nation is in a turmoil right now. It is divided almost down the middle. I would sure rather see it divided, leaning more to the right, but it's approximately down the middle. So the church is our primary source of influence upon our nation, a nation that is sick with sin. Sick. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 to 2, concerning the collection for the saints. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. So that's the tithe. The second is offerings. Offerings are given by free will as God works through and in our life and in the church by his grace. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Give, and it shall be given unto you. What is giving? Giving is an outward expression of inward love. No, of inward growth. Inwardly, we're spiritually growing. And outwardly, that is an expression of the growth that the Holy Spirit of God is implying upon our life and applying. Now the promise, Malachi 3:10, the Lord says, prove me. I will pour out, in other words, of the windows of heaven. Prove me. Trust me is what the Lord is saying. Now, listen to Proverbs chapter 11, and we're winding down very quickly. Verse 24 and 5. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that which withholdeth more than is meet. In other words, necessary. But it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. True story. A woman, a lady in the church back in the Midwest years ago, was heard to say, oversay, and she walked to her pastor and said the following. I am sure glad, Pastor, that you said the Lord will provide for our building and our building program. For a minute there, I thought you might actually ask your members to help. Isn't that a shocker? To me, that shocks me. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Here's the conclusion. on the radio station for many, many years, gone to be with the Lord, J. Vernon McGee. Here's what J. Vernon McGee, one of his famous quotes, what he said. You are not truly trusting God till you're trusting with your pocketbook. And then you know you're trusting God. Father, we ask now that you'll bless the reading of your word and the teaching. Help us that we might apply it to our life and our heart. We ask that you'll bless the morning service. And Lord, we ask that you'll speak to hearts and bring many people in. Again, we ask for our pastor and those accompanying him that you'll protect them and bless them. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have about 12 minutes.